Today, though, we're going to start out with Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and we're going to turn and we'll look at verse 8 through 11 and also 18 through 24. I'm going to be reading this morning from John MacArthur's study Bible. I happened to pull it off the shelf the other day and enjoy it a great deal. It's the New King James Version, for those of you who like that version in particular. Most of the time, we'll be using the English Standard here. That is a part of our regular study. But Galatians chapter 1. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than the one that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For I still please men. If I would, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Then also, as he indicates here a little later on in the chapter, and then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw nothing of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God I do not lie. Afterward I went up into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by those which were in Christ. But they were hearing only that he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith that he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me. That's our first little scripture reading here this morning from Galatians chapter 1. It's the start of Paul's ministry. And we're looking at that today a little bit, about how Paul went through various stages of ministry, including this whole question about the law of God and how it was to function within the believer's life. The Apostle Paul, as you remember, was on the road to Damascus. And while he was on the road to Damascus, something happened that took him totally by surprise. He was stopped along the way by none other than Jesus Christ himself, who spoke to him and said, "Paul, why do you persecute me?" And of course, Paul had no idea that he was persecuting the Lord. He thought he was serving the Lord for so many years. But in reality, he was against Christ and did not realize it. And Christ stopped him there, not only stopped him, but later on brought him into Damascus, where he was introduced to a man named Ananias, who helped to lead Paul to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. For a while in that city, Paul continued to ministry, after he had become a Christian. It was a short time that it took for him to be a true believer, but nonetheless, he was a true believer. But you know, there was more behind this than just all of that. And that was the fact that Paul went away for a while down into Arabia. And for 3 years there, he personally studied the Word of God himself, so that he might learn more and more and more about what the Bible really does teach. Then what happened? Well, you see it here in the verse 18 and following that we read this morning. And that was the fact that the Apostle Paul finally, after 3 years, goes up to Jerusalem. And you notice here, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him for 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. So it must have been quite a time. 3 years in the desert, reading, studying, learning about the Word of God, also ministering. Now he finally goes to Jerusalem after 3 years. And there he sits down and he talks with Peter for none other than 15 days. That must have been quite a session, because here are the two great apostles of the church now coming together to learn more about the word and to make sure that they are teaching the things that are right and good. But anyway, as you notice, he also met James, the Lord's brother. He didn't spend many days there with James, but it was a very exciting time, because now this is the first contact that he really had with any apostle. Up until this time, how did Paul know the word of God? Through personal study in Arabia, but also he received it directly from God himself. Can you imagine that? Being taught directly by not a study that you've done, but being taught directly by the Lord, so that it was by revelation that the word of God came to him. There's only two ways to really learn about things, and that is, one is through human reason, but that is of man, and of course, in the final analysis, it does not give us the truth as the truth should be known. But the Bible also tells us that another way that God brings truth to us is through none other than divine revelation. And that's what happened to Paul. He not only studied, he also learned directly from Jesus Christ. And so when he sat down with Peter for 15 days and with James for this period of time, what happened? Well, you notice that after these people were all together there in Jerusalem, what do we find? We find that now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. They agreed that what Paul was teaching was none other than the Lord's teaching himself. He was not bringing a new teaching. He was not making up something new. Peter agreed with it, and James agreed with it, and so it was a wonderful opportunity for them to start to know each other a little bit and to learn more about the Word of God. Well, now we turn in our Bibles to the second passage here. And this is not in Galatians, but it is in Acts chapter 10. And we're going to notice that here we see another phase in Paul's life of what is beginning to happen. You notice that in Acts chapter 11 and also 10 here, we'll start with 10. Acts chapter 10, verses 12 through 16, it was all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air, and a voice came to me, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything or anything unclean. And a voice came to me, and a second time, but God has cleansed what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times that the object was taken up into heaven again. Then down also in that passage of scripture here, we look down to the next chapter, Acts chapter 11. And we look at a couple of places here. First of all, Acts chapter 11. What do we find out happened there as a result of this meeting? Now the apostles and brothers who were in Judea heard the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision, that is the law keepers, contended with him, saying, you went into the circumcised men and you ate with them. This was something, of course, that a Jew would never do. But Peter tells the whole story. While he was visiting there, he received an invitation to Cornelius's house. Cornelius was a Gentile, but yet the good news was that there was something that God wanted Peter to know. He wanted him to know about how salvation was also to go to the Gentile peoples as well. Peter, for so many years, had been tied to the law. You can see that even here when it talks about his food that he was eating. He says, Lord, I've never eaten anything that wasn't Jewish. I've never eaten anything that was unclean. I've always been eating exactly the things that were wholesome and honorable for a Jewish man to eat. And the Lord says, listen, Peter, I'm changing the deal. And what's more is what I have called unclean in the past is now called clean. There is not going to be a description anymore between what was Jewish and clean or that which was unclean and something that the Gentiles could partake of as well. And you notice here, when we finally get down to verse 18, when they heard these things, after Peter explained to the people in Jerusalem, he told them, look, he says, I went to a Gentile's house and I ate Gentile food and I did something that isn't common to happen. But he said the reason why I did it was because God himself told me. God told me to go to this house. God told me to meet with this man. God told me that the food that I was going to eat was no longer unclean, but it was clean. It was no longer that we were under the operation of the law. But you'll find that when they heard these things, they became silent. And they glorified God, saying, then God also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. So what's happening here? First, we find that Paul and Peter and James link up together in Jerusalem and they learn how to trust in the things of God the way God has properly revealed them. But you notice here that it also tells us that there was a situation where he was going to learn more because Peter did not even then in Jerusalem understand all about how God was bringing in a new and a better covenant, not like the old covenant, but like the new covenant. And now when he comes to Cornelius' house, he finally starts to learn the truth about how the law is no longer applicable. As far as the Jews were, when they heard that Peter had gone to this house, what did they think? They were upset because they heard that Gentiles had received the word of God and how Peter had gone up to the uncircumcised men and ate with them. That was something that you didn't do as a Jewish man. But now that was changed because God had brought in something new and different. Well, all looks wonderful. It looks like it's starting to come together, doesn't it? But remember, like we've often told you in the past, where the light shines the brightest, the bugs are going to come flying in. And you can count that's going to happen in a not too distant future here as we continue to study the Word of God. Now let's go back to Galatians once again. And in Galatians chapter 2, we learn some more things about what was going on in Paul's ministry and how he learned about all these things. We find in Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, in the scripture that we have there, what do we read? Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas. I took Titus with me, and I went up by, notice, revelation, not human reason, but by revelation. And I communicated to them that gospel that I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And thus occurred because of the false brethren who secretly brought in to come in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that we might bring us unto bondage, that is, under the law again, to whom we did not yield submission, even for an hour. That is the truth of the gospel, that it might continue with you. Then dropping down also to verse 9, and when James, once again there's James, and Cephas, that's Peter, and John, oh now there's a third person, who seemed to be pillars, received the grace that had been given to me, and they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. It didn't mean that the gospel was now for the circumcised and for the uncircumcised. It just meant that whether you are Jew or Gentile, both groups were now to be brought the true gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ himself. Now you notice, who do we find here? Paul finally goes back after how many years? 14 years. That must have been a long time had gone by. And yet you see that there was starting to get skirmishes happening because there were some Jewish people in Jerusalem who were starting to say, you know, it's all right to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have faith in him, but you know what? You need to keep the law. You need to eat only the special food. You need to be circumcised like the Gentiles like the Jews do. We need to have that as something that was common for everybody. And if it's not being done, well, then people cannot be saved as long as they will not be eating the Jewish diet or being circumcised or following the law, which only binds people and does not give them the freedom that they need. Well, Paul heard about the little skirmish, and so what did he do? He brought two of his friends down there with him. He went to Jerusalem not because he thought, well, that's a good thing to do. You notice he went there by revelation. God told him again, Paul, I want you to go down to Jerusalem because there's getting to be a skirmish down there, and I want you to make it clear just exactly what you have been teaching. So what does he do? He takes these two men down, Barnabas and Titus, and he goes down to Jerusalem. And when he gets there, what does he do? He sits down with these three great pillars of the church. You remember how Peter, James, and John were often the three great pillars of Jesus' earthly ministry. Well, here we see, once again, we see Peter, and we see also James, and we see how John is also there. What does Paul do? He sits down and he explains to these three men again exactly what he has been preaching. Explains in great detail about what the gospel is, how the law is not of the gospel. There were some people there, though, quietly in the background who were trying to sneak in and get people to be involved in bondage again, following the law. But Paul took his stand. He made his stand right there in front of Peter, James, and John. And he told them, look, I am here to preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and that gospel is by grace alone. And he explained to them again what he was teaching, and they said, that sounds right to us. We agree with what you're doing. You are exactly teaching the right thing. Now, this is an exciting time because this is the first real confrontation that people were trying hard to get people back under the law once again. And you see that the Apostle Paul was not going to have it because he knew this wasn't of God and he was going to teach the truth, and he did teach the truth. And when they heard it, they said, we agree. Everything you've said, we agree with you, Paul. We give to you the right hand of fellowship. Now, that was something very special in those days. If you had the right hand of fellowship, that meant that people agreed with you. They were following you. They were doing the same thing that you did, teaching the same thing that you did. So now you think, ah, at last. Wonderful. At last, we find now that things are truly getting better. But are they? You know, the bugs, like I tell you, they come flying in, and here they come again, the false teachers. We turn to another part of the scriptures now, to the fourth scripture that we're going to read. It's in Acts chapter 15. And this is a very important time in the history of the church because they have a special conference. And one of the things that this conference has to deal with was the law. They were going to hear once and for all now, after a certain amount of time, they were going to sit down and rehash some of the things that had been talked about before. So in Acts chapter 15, what do we find? The first six verses. Certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren that unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. Where is this starting to happen? Now, Paul, remember, has been out ministering in another part of the world. He's been out ministering in the area of Athens, rather. And yet, the things have reached as far now that Paul has heard that there's no doubt about it. No question about whether they're teaching something false in Jerusalem. They're now pushing it hard. They're even trying to get down to Athens with this point of view. So what do? They decide to have a conference. So, being sent on their way by the church, they pass through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles that caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees, oh, there they come, who believed, rose up, saying, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." Here it comes again, that same old false teaching. And there are now Pharisees who were highly esteemed in Jerusalem, and they are being instructing people to go out and to teach the same thing in order to be saved. If you're not circumcised, if you're not under the law, if you can't do these things, then you can't be saved. Well, Paul came down there, and what did he do? He took them on. They were no match for somebody like Paul. Paul also not only knew the great faith, but also he was one who had been trained in Judaism by none other than Gamaliel. And what's more, he knew the Jewish faith the way they taught it, and he knew what was right about it and what was wrong. We're going to look about some of the things that are right about it next time in our study. But he also knew that some of the things that they were involved with, teaching that you had to be circumcised or you had to have certain diets in order to be saved, that was false. You had to have one thing. What is that? Christ. If you have Christ, you have all that you need. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what the Bible teaches us again and again. But you notice here, they're trying very hard to change the whole agenda here. But the Apostle Paul, when he sees what is going on, he confronts them head on. And you notice when we come to the end of chapter 15, if we look at verses 34 and 35, "However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there and Paul and Barnabas, and remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of God with many others also." So you see what happened. Paul won this debate once again. Paul proved in Jerusalem that what he was teaching was the truth. And they said, "Sounds fine to us, Paul. Go back to the city that you're in and go back with Gentiles there and keep teaching what you're teaching. It sounds all right and good. It's the truth as we know it." Well, you think, oh, finally, at last, we've got it settled, right? I mean, Paul has been to Jerusalem a couple times. It's all clear in everybody's mind. Even the great leaders of the church were convinced that Paul was teaching the truth. But now, guess what? Here they come again. The bugs. And we find this now when we turn to the book of Galatians. Only this time, it gets to be quite exciting. Galatians chapter 2. We turn to one of the very most important scriptures in the New Testament. Why so important? Because here is where it's going to get finally settled. What is the gospel? Are we clear about the gospel or are we not? And so in Galatians chapter 2, "After 14 years, I went again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me." And you know that whole story. But what happened? We find here that in verse 11, now when Peter came to Antioch, this is a later coming now, not the most recent one that we just studied about, but Peter is now coming to Antioch. And what happened? When Peter came down to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came with him, what happened? He withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. You know, Peter was a pretty courageous man, pretty hard-driving man, not afraid to take a stand. But what happened here? Peter wimped out. How did he become a wimp for a while? I'll tell you why. He became a wimp because some people came down from Jerusalem and said, you know what? James told us that it's all true that we should be keeping the law and being circumcised and having the Jewish dietary customs and all of that. We should do it if they're going to be saved. If they're not, then they can't be saved. Well, that was all news to the Apostle Paul. He had been told several times that he was teaching the truth. Now he's teaching the same truth once again. But what had happened? Peter came down there with some people from Jerusalem, and they started to say, look, if you don't follow the law here, you're not going to teach true salvation. And when the Apostle Paul saw Peter stop eating the food that he had eaten so many times before, once that was considered unclean, but now was known to be clean by God himself, Peter wouldn't do it. He stopped eating the food that was considered unholy to the Jewish people, and he wouldn't involve himself in it anymore. What did Paul do at this point? Did Paul turn a deaf ear? Did he turn his face? Did he stop listening to Peter? No. In the same situation here, we find that once again, only this time to Peter himself, we see that Peter was to be blamed, for before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. It's one of the greatest threats to every Christian in the world today is what I call the fear of man. There are many people who won't do certain things because they're more afraid of what man may think than what God actually says. And you must follow the things of God, no matter how unclear at first they may seem to you. You must continue to study and read and ask God for revelation that he'll give you help and show you. And Paul is very clear about this. So when Peter starts this thing up, Paul says, wait, Peter, you have been living like what? Like a Jew for so many years. Now you started and understood that you were to be living as a Gentile. But what has happened? Now you're living like a Jew again. You're getting back under the same old law, the same old circumcision, the same old stuff that was once part of your background, the bondage which God gave for people then for a certain amount of time until the coming of Christ. But you are now following the wrong thing. You're following that which was not true. And boy, I'll tell you, it took a lot of courage, I think, for Paul to come on and attack Peter like this right in front of the church there in Antioch. But he did it because he knew that what was at stake was the gospel. He did not stop. He confronted him. He says, what is wrong with you, Peter? You've changed your whole diet and all that stuff. And not only you, but my good friend Barnabas over here has even become somewhat tied in with it too. Don't let that happen. It's not correct. And Paul once again took Peter aside in a powerful way and confronted him to his face. And you know, it must have been a big day in that congregation there in Antioch, because how often do you find two known apostles of the church now battling with each other But that's exactly what's happening. And you know what? Once again, for the third time, Paul wins the debate. Because later on, Peter reneges. I mentioned that last week, that in Peter's two books that he wrote, 1st and 2nd Peter, he talks about one thing, in both of those epistles, he talks about something that is called not law, but grace. He said in Paul's writings, there are some hard things to understand, but you know what? He's right. He's telling you the truth. Paul's got it right. It's all about grace. And you know, the Bible says that too. Three different times in the Old and New Testament, we are taught the same thing, that the just shall live by faith. The just shall not live by law. That's not how you get saved. That's not how you stay saved. That's not how you get into heaven. God, as we will see next week, gave us the law in the Old Testament times for what? For people to learn how they should seek to try to live for God. But there was nothing that was obligatory as far as salvation with it or in keeping saved. They were to follow the law until what? Until Jesus Christ came, because Christ would present clearly the proper way of salvation. When you read the writings of the book of Hebrews chapter 11, what do we find about when we read about that chapter? All these different heroes of what? All the heroes of faith. They were all people that were saved by faith, not by law, not by human ideas or anything like that, not by caving in to follow the will of man, but they followed the will of God. And you know what? Paul took him to task and beat him once again, and taught for the church once and for all, even though the church is still even learning it today in our own day. There are people who still think they can be saved by being good enough. I told you about that last week, how one man was convinced that by keeping the Sermon on the Mount and by keeping the Ten Commandments that he could get to heaven, that was enough for him. And one of the men, the pastor there at Moody Church, told him, listen, he said, when did you start this? He said, well, I started it when I was 12 years old. And he said, well, then at 12 years old, you had to be perfect from that point on ever since. Because the Bible says that if you're not perfect in keeping the law perfectly in everything that you say or do, you cannot be saved. The man was so upset, he went away disheartened and did not accept what Ironside told him, but he could have heard the truth if he cared to listen to it. And I'm so glad that over the years that there have been those who have faithfully taught the truth of grace. That's how I was saved. That's how, if you are saved today, that's how you're saved. It's by grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ, not by being good enough or trying to merit God's favor. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with trying to live according to commands that God has given in the Bible. But if you think that you're earning your way into heaven by doing that, that's wrong. The Bible is very clear. We're only saved by grace through faith. It's always been by faith. The Apostle Paul proved that in the Old Testament too. When people came to him one day and they said, ha ha, Paul, we know you're wrong. We know you're wrong because you're not following Moses. And if you were following Moses, you would all be one who teaches salvation by works as well. Paul, of course, knew that that was not true. Moses did not teach salvation by works. That's why he's even in the heroes of faith. But you see, Paul said, listen, why are you going only back to Moses with your wrong views? Why don't you go back farther than that? Why don't you go back to Abraham himself? What does the Bible tell us? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. How did Abraham become righteous before God? By faith. That was how. And the Apostle Paul had to remind them of their own Old Testament. They didn't know it as well as he did. That was one of the great shames. When people think they know the Spirit of God, or they think they know the Word of God, but they really don't know it as they should. That's why it's necessary to keep studying it. That's why, you know, one of the great experiences, even last week, we had my son-in-law was in our house for a while, James from Louisville, Kentucky. And it was a thrill to be able to sit down and talk with James about the matters of the faith, because we share a common faith and we share the truth of the gospel. And I'm so glad when in the church where he attends, where they appointed him as one of the deacons of the church there, it was a great thrill just to see that he is making progress in the Christian faith and that he understands the things that are right. He's also reading good books, and you know that he drives a truck, drives it all over the place. What do you think he does? He says, I listen to 5 sermons every day. Whew, boy. I don't listen to 5 sermons every day. I read a lot, but I don't listen to 5 different sermons. Oh, I listen to Alistair Begg. I listen to Erwin Lutzer. I listen to Warren Wiersbe when he was still alive. I listen to people like that. He said, that's how I'm learning about the things of God. I said, I understand. Keep it up. That's what I would say to you too. Keep it up, because there's only one way of salvation. You'll never get there by counting all your good deeds and works and efforts and all of that. It's not that saves you. You know what? Jesus did all those things for you. That's why you can come to heaven someday directly by Jesus Christ, because he took all your sins and paid for them and took all of your righteous living that he should have done. He did it perfectly. And because he did it all perfectly, anyone who believes on the Son of God, Jesus Christ, has eternal salvation. But if you don't believe in Christ, what do you have? You have the works of the flesh. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks here. But we'll have to see that it's all of man, and man is not the way to glory. Only Jesus Christ is the way to glory. So I want to urge every one of you to put your faith and trust in him, because it's never been any different than that. You know, God doesn't change the deal. When God says, I'm bringing salvation to the world because mankind is a sinner and needs a Savior, I'm going to bring someone who's going to be born of a woman and all of that, yes. But it's going to be one who's going to be my son, who's going to be perfect, who's going to fulfill all the commandments. And what's more, it's going to be the same deal in the Old Testament as it was in the New Testament. It's never been any different than that. By faith alone, we are always saved plus nothing. So, the Lord willing, we'll try to find out then next week what was the role then of the law. There were 10 commandments. There was a Sermon on the Mount. Why did God have them then? What was so important about them? We'll look at that next week. Just remember, salvation is by grace through faith. And that's the only way that we can get to glory. Let's pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we come to you now and we recognize that these things are true. We have gone through the scriptures very carefully this morning and seen that again and again and again, people come back to the same basic conclusion, that salvation is all of grace, not through human works or effort or merit or achievement. Lord, help us also to know that same wonderful truth, because by grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anybody should boast. But in Christ, we have all that we need. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.